Well, how does a guy like you, who grew up in suburban Chicago, get into country and honky-tonk and music like that back in the day? Or did it take a while to evolve into that music?
I tend to think it did take a while to evolve. I began as a child listening with my parents to Pete Seeger and the Weavers and Paul Robeson, Mahalia Jackson, and basically was a folk singer at about age 12.
Really?
What I found was that I was given some records by country artists, by my cousin, and heard records at the time. WLS in Chicago played a wider mix of music. You could hear something like Stonewall Jackson, or you'd hear the Statler Brothers, and I was just pretty much entranced by the whole thing.
I'm guessing Roger Miller was someone that might have inspired you as well?
Absolutely. I mean, one of the great songwriters of all time in my book, who wrote both some of the funniest songs and some of the saddest songs, as he put it, earthy songs from his early part of his career when he was writing for Ray Price and Ernest Tubb and just phenomenal stuff.
The song on your album, Tonight That Lover Ain't Me, it sounds like Roger Miller, both lyrically and musically, to me.
Well, I'm delighted to hear that. When I wrote that, that was kind of a song that got me back into songwriting because I had been not writing too much. Sometimes you just hit a dry spell. I was at an open mic singing and just had the idea for the song based upon looking out into the audience. When I think about the song, it sort of has some Roger Miller, sort of has some Floyd Gilman.
I've seen the bright lights, most of the night light, swept out with the neon debris. Somewhere in this room, there's a lover for you, but tonight that lover ain't me.
Well, you have an interesting musical history of your own, and you know, in addition to your solo work, you played behind Tanya Tucker for a while.
That was definitely an interesting experience, and exposed me to a lot of things that are hard to capture these days, because bands don't tour that much in buses like that. And so I got to meet and be on shows with a lot of the people that I most looked up to. And it became easy to play in front of larger crowds because you were always playing to large crowds with her.
I've seen the hot light stood in the spotlight. That's where I heard my.
I would imagine playing behind a band like that, you got to see firsthand what it took to put on a great show.
I certainly tried, because even with Tanya, who was only 15 at the time, we were taught, in a sense, to always focus on her while we were on stage, and we got a chance to see other people doing that as well. You definitely encounter a kind of professionalism that you might not find at the local level.
Who I am today is not what I think I thought I was. Might have done things better, but I didn't make plans. I hope you're not unhappy in these words.
Is there a kind of a country rockabilly honky-tonk scene in Chicago?
There really is, and it's not a huge thing. There used to be a very big country music scene in Chicago with the WLS Barn Dance, which had people like the late Johnny Frigo and great jazz guitarist George Barnes. And there was also a band that I had a chance to work with called the Sundowners, who played at the place called the Bar Double R, which was a basement joint down in the loop between the Woods Movie Theater and the Greyhound bus station. And they had the band playing five nights a week from 9 at night till 3 in the morning or 4 in the morning on Saturdays. And people used to come in. It was pretty amazing. They were a great little trio. They had that Western sound with the sort of Sons of the Pioneers you know, harmonies. I actually played with a band that split sets with them for a couple of weeks and then also substituted with them. And they had a big impact on me as far as how I dressed and how I prepared. There was kind of a country music scene, I'd say, in the 70s, but it was more of a country rock thing. And I was more interested in the pure forms of country, I guess. It almost became, you had to apologize for playing country. But within recent years, I'd say in the last 15 or 20 years, there have been a lot of bands who became interested in the country scene more. Your Bloodshot Records has a number of artists like the Waco Brothers and Robbie Fulks. So there's quite a few people around Chicago who definitely can play. There was, for instance, a great thing not that long ago where it was a tribute to Merle Haggard before he died, where Red Volkert came into town, who had played with Merle for a number of years and is one of the preeminent country guitarists down in Austin. There was another place, Nashville North. There were house bands, the Country Music Palace, the Country Music Inn, but most of those places went out of business. I think during the disco era, kind of hit it hard, and people wanted to disco rather than two-step, let's put it that way.
Look at that woman out there on the floor. Look at that woman out there on the floor. The way she shakes it makes me holler for more.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting you bring that up. All the blues guys I talk to talk about the disco era with some disdain as well, because they just got wiped out. And I would imagine a lot of different kind of genres of music got wiped out in the 1970s.
Right. I think some of the great blues singers, soul singers, found it harder to get work. But what happened was they came to the north side in many cases. Guys like Otis Clay, who was on I got to meet on a number of Buck Owens tribute shows, where every year we would celebrate Buck Owens' birthday. I think Otis was on all five of the shows. Mavis Staples was on one of them. Cicero Blake, Dale Watson, Buddy Miller. You know, lots of people would come in. And one of the things about playing in a soul band was I got introduced to a lot of both the blues artists and the soul artists. And there was a guy, Mark Cannon, the blues cannon, who was a harp player who had played around, and he introduced me to listen to O.V. Wright and that kind of thing. So I was able to pick up education on the fly as far as music went. It wasn't the kind of thing that you could study, but you had to go out and work the clubs and listen to the artists to really embrace it totally.
All That American Night is the name of the album, and Leave This Town is another song on the album. And I'm hearing some yodeling on this album, and I'm wondering, does anyone yodel in country music anymore?
Well, I think there's a few people left. I like to think that I'm one of them. And just the other night, I was playing at a bar sitting in with a band and did some yodeling, and people always react pretty strongly to it. I do find that people are more, there's a strong split. Either they love it or they don't like it at all.
Yeah.
And one of my earlier songs actually was called What Good Is Country Music Without the Yodel?
Think I'm gonna leave this town in a hurry. Oh, they're all right, baby, don't you worry. Somewhere between Memphis and Missouri. Think I'm gonna leave this town.
For years, you were a letter carrier for the post office.
Absolutely. It's an interesting challenge. I think sometimes people see music as being something where you hit it big or you don't do it at all. Sometimes you get to a point where you see that music is a chancy sort of living, and that having a job where you can count on that is a good thing to support the music. Even when I was working late at night, I was able to go to the post office and work in the morning. One of the advantages of the post office is you don't have to be particularly charming to your co-workers. You can just kind of do the job, get out on the street, deliver. And then I lived close to the post office, so I could go out then and work with bands at night. And so it worked out pretty well.